We continue on this week as we are in between week two and week three in the college football season. As we roll on, we are now joined by the college football professor who is with us every Tuesday. He joins us before we go into week three. Pretty big games last weekend and some major contests also upcoming this weekend. How are you, and what stood out to you?
Well, you know, I guess one of the things, Jacob, that we saw is some of the great settings. You know, the Alabama-Penn State there in Happy Valley, and two great institutions, or the Michigan-Notre Dame game there in first time having lights on in the big house. And then, of course, Wyoming and Texas State. Those are three big venues that I saw this time.
I'm afraid I missed that last one.
Have you ever been to Wyoming this time of year? What a beautiful setting it is. It might not be for football, but it's beautiful country.
Yeah, I've never been to Wyoming at any time of the year. Okay, so moving on. So you thought that the settings were great. What about the play on the field? What was the what was the biggest thing you took away from the second week?
I guess I keep hearing about, you know, the football games, but I keep hearing about alignment. I've come to the conclusion that the alignment, this whole conference shuffle, is being sponsored by Southwest Airlines, so they get more business. And and then you know that Southwest has these funny uniforms their flight attendants wear, and that's why we've been seeing all these uniforms.
Well, am I going to have to bill Southwest for that airtime we just gave them? No, I think you're right. It definitely does have a lot of travel companies excited. And the reason I made the decision not to talk about alignment this week, at least on these programs, until something is nailed down concrete, because, you know, we obviously record this show with a little bit of time before we actually post it and promote it. So by the time you may be listening to this show, something could have totally changed in the world of conference realignment. So that's why it's a fluid situation, so I just let it go and we won't talk about it. But you're absolutely right. There are more talks about Oklahoma, Texas going places. We'll see where it ends up. Okay, let's. You wanted to talk about surprise teams this or are you?
Yeah, we there are some surprise All right. teams, but you know, before we do that, it might be the surprise of how Notre Dame and Michigan was so overhyped.
Yeah.
But I'm also surprised by the fact, if you looked at the major universities in the state of Indiana and you rank them, and you'd find the rankings would be something like this: Ball State number one, Purdue number two, Notre Dame number three, and Indiana number four. Because you realize that Ball State's 1-1, Purdue's 1-1, Notre Dame is 0-2, Indiana's 0-2. But the reason I put Ball State number one, at least they have a win over BCS team, which is not so with the rest of the teams in Indiana.
That's right, and Notre Dame lost to a middling BCS team, and then a pretty good program in Michigan, but Notre Dame 0-2. You're absolutely right.
And I keep thinking about the Pac-10 or 12 or 8 or 16 or 14, whatever. Anyway, the teams out on the West Coast, we have Washington and Washington State undefeated. And we have Stanford and USC. Looks like they're rising as the class of the league. And I was just looking at some of the records here. We have Oregon State University 0-2. We have Oregon 1-1. Colorado, new team in that league, 0-2. California 2-0. Arizona State 2-0. Arizona 1-1. And Oklahoma 2. Oh, they're not in the Pac-10 yet. I was about to get ahead of myself. But the surprise teams, I thought, first of all, is South Florida. And then Duke, the fact that that they have just continue to amaze me how they know how to lose. And then I think Florida, when you look at Florida, how they've come on, they're a little bit of a surprise to me. And Oregon State, the way with their lousy play, has been somewhat of a surprise. And I have to say this, Tennessee is a little bit of a surprise to me this year.
Well,
UNLV now, they have given up 110 points in two games.
Yeah.
That's quite a record.
It is. On Tennessee, and I agree with you, that was surprising that they blew Cincinnati out, but it's hard to make a judgment about a season after the second week. I think we'll find out a lot of things about this Tennessee team when they visit Florida in the Swamp this coming weekend. So who we talk about surprise teams. What team stood out to you the most on the positive side in the first 2 weeks?
Well, some of the teams that really have stood out have not played much competition yet. And that's mm-hmm. going to change as Oklahoma and Florida State play each other. And I think LSU and Alabama yeah. have won big games in big venues.
Right.
And I think that's a surprise. I think Auburn has surprised me, the fact mm-hmm. that they're 2-0 at this time.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people talked about that Mississippi State game being the biggest game of the year for them, perhaps the difference between a bowl and a non-bowl. If you look at their schedule, it's going to get pretty rigorous coming up. So, a big win for Auburn. We'll see what happens this week as they go to Clemson. How about on the negative side? Who do you think has been a surprise?
Well, you look at the Big Ten losses. Minnesota lost to New Mexico State. Indiana lost to Ball State and Virginia. Iowa lost to Iowa State. And Purdue lost to Rice. So those are some big losses. But let me give you a watch-out
game. Penn State.
Yeah.
Lost to Alabama.
Well, I don't think that's that much of a negative thing because
that's true.
They're losing
it's commonplace.
To a good – yeah. I've got something to say about that
a little bit
later. And I also think that there's a lookout game or watch-out game for this week, and that's Syracuse and Southern Cal. Now,
which team is looking out?
Well, I mean, you know, most people would look at this and think that this is a blowout Southern Cal because Syracuse has been so weak. But when I think of the fact that Syracuse is a world-class journalism school and Lane Kiffin is a world-class jerk, so this could be a happy ending for both. So I just say watch out for the Syracuse Orange and Southern Cal this week.
People in Gainesville and Knoxville applauding right now. Okay, well, let's move on now to picks. And what are the games this week that you have circled and have your eye on, critical eye on, most?
Well, I have, as we do each week, we pick 10.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, last week...
Yeah, how are we doing? I don't even...
Well, last week, the one that I missed was the Mississippi State and Auburn.
Okay.
And that surprised me.
I know I missed that one, too.
But, I just come to the conclusion Mississippi State does not know how to stand on the stage. And
you better be careful saying that, though. In two nights, you know they're going to beat LSU and make you look bad.
Well, I'll take exception to that thought. But let's look at these games. First of all, there's Florida and Tennessee. I think that's a big game now. Before the season, it didn't look
that big.
Florida is 80-3 in two games. And that's impressive no matter who you're playing.
Right.
But I'm picking Florida to win.
Well, I think Florida and Tennessee, it is a bigger game than we first thought, as you just mentioned. Florida now, I think, is in the semi-driver's seat with South Carolina for the East. Georgia's out of the picture, at least for now, with that bad loss this past weekend against South Carolina that they should have won. And now Tennessee, they are 2-0. They've beaten a legitimate BCS team in Cincinnati, albeit they may not be very good right now. But they have beaten them, and so Tennessee is kind of that team that everybody's got their eye on. It's a dark horse, but this is their biggest test. They're going to go into Gainesville. I like Florida to win the football game, but I will say this is going to be a very critical game for the East. And just a side tangent real quick, isn't it interesting how the East gets solved? A lot of their questions get solved so early. You have the South Carolina-Georgia game in Week 2, and then the Florida-Tennessee game in Week 3, and at the end of that, you really have a playoff because the winner of those two games, which will be South Carolina and one of the others, is going to be probably for the East Championship.
That's right. The next game is Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. And I'm going to pick Ole Miss, and here's why. Vanderbilt, as you well know, is a basketball school. Well, did you know that Houston Nutt lettered 3 years in basketball? And so since he lettered 3 years in basketball in college, I felt like that they could beat a basketball school, so I'm picking Ole Miss.
Okay, yeah, that's good rationale there. Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, I am going to go with the Commodores, and this is just me being stubborn because I picked them before the season to get to 6-6 and go to a bowl because I really like what James Franklin is doing there. He's got some exciting his recruiting is exciting, among other things. But they also did something that Mississippi did not do. They beat last week a BCS team in UConn, and you can laugh about UConn all you want. They are a legitimate BCS team. Randy Edsall built that program, and Vanderbilt beat them by a field goal. Ole Miss had a chance against a non-BCS school, albeit a good one, in BYU, a couple of weeks ago, and they fumbled the game away. I like Vanderbilt at home to win this game.
The next game is Alabama-North Texas, and I'm going to go with Alabama. I believe Alabama will win this game, and they will win it with ease.
Are we going to talk about point spread here? I mean, are we talking about Alabama winning by 30, 40? I mean, the picking this game, a pick 'em game, is a little ridiculous. I'm going to take, I think Alabama will win with their backups.
The next game is LSU Mississippi State, and I think I would go with LSU. I believe they got the best team and best athletes. Plus the fact there's only five days for Mississippi State to prepare.
5 days for Mississippi State to prepare is correct, unless they were looking ahead last week and installing game plans for LSU, and maybe that's why they performed so poorly in Jordan-Hare Stadium. I don't know, but I will say that watch out for Mississippi State in this game. I've seen college football a long time, enough to know that you get a big loss like that on Saturday, and you can bounce right back and shock the world when nobody thinks you're going to win against LSU. Having said that, I agree with you. LSU, too many athletes, and probably at the end of the day is a deeper team, so I will take Les Miles in spite of himself.
Auburn-Clemson. I think before the season, most people thought that Clemson probably would win this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Clemson now.
Haven't you learned your lesson yet?
Well, let me say this. I believe Auburn will win the game, not Clemson.
Okay.
Because actually Auburn has beaten Clemson 13 for the last 13 times they played. The last time that Auburn lost to Clemson, Beano Cook was a young man, and I think that that means that
I didn't know Beano Cook was ever a young man.
So I'm picking Clemson to lose this game.
Well, I was talking to somebody about this game earlier, and I just simply like the Auburn offense to be able to move the ball on Clemson's defense. Yes, Auburn has holes on their defense, and it is a legitimate concern, and I think they will run into trouble down the road, but I don't think it's going to be at Clemson. I like Clemson somewhere in the neighborhood of 35-24. I mean, Auburn somewhere in the neighborhood of 35-24.
Arkansas and Troy. I'm going to have to go with Arkansas since they've outscored their opponents this year 103-10.
I mean, is Arkansas, why don't they just line up Vestavia High School for one of these first three games? They open with New Mexico, Missouri State, and Troy, and this is just a routine knock them off one by one before they go to Tuscaloosa next week. There's no contest.
Georgia Tech and Kansas. I'm going to pick the Ramblin' Wreck to upset Kansas.
I think they played last year, didn't they, in a big game. I remember watching that game. I can't remember who won.
Kansas won.
And that was surprising because Kansas had a really poor team last year. I am going to take – oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Georgia Tech, though. I like Paul Johnson. I think his style he plays with that option close to the vest offense is the way to go, especially – where is this played, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, either way, I like Georgia Tech.
Florida State and Oklahoma, and I'm going to go with Oklahoma. Florida State, though, has outscored their opponents 96-10 in two games, but I stay with Oklahoma.
Well, I'm waiting for some rationale. You're just picking them now and not giving rationale. Earlier you gave us a history lesson on Houston Nutt. I like Florida State to not be enough to win this game. I like Oklahoma to win it just because I like the LSU and Mississippi State game. Oklahoma's deeper. They have more athletes. And I think at the end of the day, they're the better team. But Jimbo Fisher's squad is definitely a danger for them in Tallahassee. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I like the Sooners.
Well, you have to remember that Oklahoma State does have the Boomer Sooner wagon pulled by two horses, right? And Florida State just uses one, so that's two horses against one. So we have to go with Oklahoma.
Well, maybe they're just going to try ACC football out. Maybe if the Pac-12 doesn't work out and the SEC doesn't invite them, they'll go to the ACC. Who knows?
Virginia Tech and Arkansas State. And I'm going to go with, Virginia Tech. Even though Arkansas State beat Memphis 47-3 last week, I'm still sticking with Virginia Tech, even though they struggled.
Yeah, they struggled with East Carolina, which is a pretty good team. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech. Not sure what Arkansas State has done to make me think that they would be any contest.
Boise State and Toledo. And I'm going to go with Boise State. Even though Toledo held Ohio State to a very close game last week, but I believe Boise State's going to come prepared and ready to play.
Well, and you know, all of the Bronco fans will be saying that this is a big win for them because they don't have anything else to hang their hat on after they played Georgia. Boise State's a very good team. Let me say this about the Toledo game. I believe, didn't they have an off week last week after playing Georgia? Your one contest of the year and you take an off week. in between. So yeah, there'll be plenty in the tank to beat Toledo. And you're right though, Toledo did come close to Ohio State last week. So I don't know, maybe they might give them a few problems.
Jacob, don't you think we'll begin to see some of the conference races begin to take shape? Even though this is the third week, there'll be some movement where you begin to see some activity that helps us to see who's going to come out on top.
Oh, yeah, especially as we talked about in the SEC East.
And in the SEC West, we've got the possibility of LSU and Auburn and Alabama Arkansas, and Arkansas is a really good team, and this could be quite a challenging year for the West.
Could be. Okay, well, let's go to the chalkboard segment, and as we wrap up here and see what you got lined up for us there.
I got to thinking about the Alabama and Penn State game, and as I was trying to decide the game, the final score, remember, 11 points was scored by Penn State. Now, they had three, then they scored a touchdown, went for two, and got 11. And I got to wondering about that, and I got to thinking as I analyzed it, and I remembered that in 1947, Gil Hodges, who played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, hit four home runs and a single, which means a total of 17 total bases, and had 17 RBIs, and he was playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers against then the Boston Braves. Well, the reason I bring that up is that what was happening is that the Joe Paterno was at Brown at the time that this feat that Gil Hodges performed took place. So what Joe Paterno was trying to do, he was trying to see if he could finally get to the place he would score 17 points on Alabama. And he got to 11 by going for two, but he didn't make it. And if you think that's a minor thing, just remember that there was a vote taken recently to see who was the most famous or the best Dodgers of all time. And Sandy Koufax was number one, Jackie Robinson number two, Duke Snider number three, Don Drysdale number four, and so Gil Hodges was number five. Now, Gil Hodges was eight times an All-Star, three times a Gold Glove winner, and he had 361 home runs and 1,254 RBIs in seven World Series. And Joe Paterno, if he lives long enough, will win 1,254 games. So that'll make him and Gil Hodges in the same class.
Well, yeah, that's very interesting. I thought you were going to go should have gone with the if you're going to go retro baseball, go with the Phillies and the Pirates. That would have been geographically appropriate. You're right though about Paterno. That's a very interesting point about him. He is getting up there, and he has now accomplished, I guess, as you would say, 11 points on Alabama. He's still got a long way to go, and Alabama's not on the schedule in the regular season next year, so he's going to have to coach, oh, I don't know, about 5 or 6 or 10 more years to get another swipe at Alabama. Very interesting point. Let's move into the week 3 as we conclude here. Let's talk about what do you think the biggest storylines will be coming out of week 3. What do you think we'll be focused on? And not necessarily from an overall, obviously Florida State and Oklahoma is going to be the biggest game of the weekend. But last week we had the Michigan thing that I don't think anybody was prepared for how good that game was going to be. It reminded us all of why we love college football. Like that, what do you think the story will be?
I think the Miami and Ohio State game, when we look at that, and then the Florida State and Oklahoma game, I think those will be the two games that will define a lot this week.
Well, they will be, and we should have come up with a more creative name for the Miami Ohio State game by now, other than just the Miami and Ohio State game. But obviously, you have the Nevin Shapiro thing going on at Miami, and the Jim Tressel situation, which is no longer the coach at Ohio State. So definitely the NCAA violations bowl. Which, by the way, on a side note, Boise State was hit with, I think, three scholarships or nine scholarships, something like that, over a couple of years. I saw a funny tweet from a Boise State fan that I really thought was great. It said, now we have NCAA street cred now that we're getting NCAA violations levied against us. So now the 4- and 5-star recruits will be surely coming our way.
Well, if you remember, I think it was last week, we talked about the fact that We found out that Ohio State could lose in an open week when they lost all their games. Well, we discovered something new this week, that Southern Cal could score a touchdown 2 hours after the game was over. So you say, what's going to happen this Saturday? What's going to be a surprise? We don't know what's going to happen. It just seems like something new every week occurs.
Can you imagine why the Pac-12 office would feel like they had to add a touchdown after the game? Very interesting move there. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Bun Sports Show with the College Football Professor. We'll be back tomorrow. Robert McElroy will be with us. He attended the Auburn and Mississippi State game, so he'll have insight on that, as well as a number of other SEC contests. But until next week, Professor, thanks for joining us, and you know how to contact us. We'll, if you need to, do it with all of our social media and email addresses. If any news breaks, of course, we'll have it on our Twitter or on the website, so keep it there. Everyone, have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.